Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
I want to drag you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very well this evening, and our other co-host is actually on time tonight. So what's going on, Katrina?
Nothing, I'm fine.
Well, that's good to know. Cool. And
you know who's not fine?
No, I'm never not fine. I'm doing okay. No, I think I'm what you're thinking about.
I said, do you know who's not fine right now?
Oh, who?
Mario Cinetti. He's on a cocaine binge on Facebook.
I don't know what's going on with this man, but if you don't... Marty Cinetti.
If he wasn't on one on Facebook, I'd be worried.
Yeah, he is on a roll.
I think someone told him that there was a limit for Facebook posts in a day, and that he's trying to reach that or break that. And I'm sure this is, like I said, cocaine, like a cocaine-filled rage, and the man is on a mission. And he's something else. I got to say that about Marty Jannetty.
He's losing his mind on Facebook tonight.
About 5 or 6 years ago, I had a friend that had all these hunting dogs, and I went over to his house one day. He said, can you come help me with something? So we went out in the woods with one of the dogs, got the dog in the head, put it down, it was sick. I said, I needed to be here for that. I think it's time for Marty to go down. It's just, sorry to be so insensitive.
Well, honestly, he was... Maybe it was a week or two ago, he was actually making posts like a la Matt Hardy, where he was actually making it sound like he wanted to kill himself. So I guess this is better. This little outbreak today is a little better than that. But the dude's not well, dude. I mean, it's kind of funny, but deep down, it's actually kind of sad. I mean, there should have been two Shawn Michaels. But there wasn't, because one guy just couldn't control himself throughout the years. And, you know.
Who'd be fired more time, him or Sheik? I'm trying to think.
I think it's Mario Jannetty. I think he's got to have the record.
Yeah. He's been fired a lot.
Yeah. And, also, besides Mario Jannetty going crazy, I am going to try and give live updates today from the Shine pay-per-view. Hopefully, I'll have better luck than I did last time. And I am buying the show, even though their champion, Rain, called me stupid on Twitter yesterday. But I'm still going to buy the show.
Well, what did you say?
they had a tweet advertising the main event of her against Evelise from WWE. What is it? That WWE show. Yeah, tough enough. Anyway, I made a mention that after their tour de war that the real main event is Leva Bates and Nevaeh, and she took exception to that and called me stupid. Hurt my feelings. These shine girls, they don't take no shit, that's for damn sure.
Well, why would they?
Yeah.
Real quick, back to the Polygenetics thing.
So that guy sitting on his couch watching.
For people that go on to, like, Facebook and texting, typing a bunch of depressed shit, don't do that.
Right.
Nobody wants to. Call somebody if you got a problem. Don't do it on Facebook or you involve everybody in the fucking world. Shit pisses me off.
There's also a disturbing picture on Facebook right now. Apparently, Meanie, the Blue Meanie, has got a match coming up or something. And he's in the middle of dyeing his hair blue, but before he dyes it blue, he's got to bleach it blonde.
That's
an amazing picture.
That'd be just known as Meanie from now on and not blue anything.
It's pretty amazing. Blonde hair and beard. It's tremendous.
Yeah, he's pretty wacky.
I tell you,
but,
basically,
the majority of the show, or half the show, is going to be about the Royal Rumble, because we do have the Royal Rumble coming up this Sunday, and I will be taking my first sick day from work of the year to watch this show, so I'm excited.
Greg, I enjoyed your appearance this week. It was very entertaining.
What's that?
Thank you, sir.
Enjoyed Greg's appearance on the Brian and Vinny show. It was very entertaining.
It was okay, except that I don't know what happened to our big plug we were supposed to get, that goddamn little midget.
Well, I figured I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I figured he had plugged it because I didn't see you going, like, flipping out in the thread, the Brian and Vinny thread or anything, so I figured he had done a good job or something.
No, it was
all thought by Brian. That's what he wanted. He wanted me to go all crazy in the thread so he could probably ban me for a week, so I couldn't troll him for a week.
Speaking of banning, I miss Robert.
Oh, he's still on Twitter.
Yeah, he's still on Twitter.
I want to go on the board.
He's on Twitter, but you notice he's been acting a lot nicer to everybody since he got banned.
How long has he banned for? Forever or like 30 days?
Probably just a week. I think it's his first banning since the TOS.
And then turns the service. He'll fuck you every time.
Right.
Yeah,
I just have it clarified that if I can still make fun of Ed's spelling on the board, or else will I get a warning or something? I figured I wouldn't, but since it's Ed.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Craig's appearance, apparently he is making a reappearance on Sunday's special show they're doing right after the Royal Rumble. And
yes,
I'm going to give you some bullet points, Craig.
Okay.
Bullet points. BlockTalkRadio.com/Contrero.
I don't understand.
That's how you plug our show. That's where you find our
show.
Oh,
I got you.
I imagine during the Brian and Benny show the other day, that since it was live, it was probably bugging you the whole time, wouldn't it?
I was at work, unless I would have.
No, Ed asked me to plug the show. I told Brian very early on in the show that I needed to, at some point, plug the show. And even beforehand, when nothing was rolling. And anyway.
He did a good job that you could plug it at the end of the show.
Right. And then we never got back to it. And instead of me grinding the show to a halt and saying, oh, by the way, you forgot this, this, and this, I just let it go. So, there you go.
I don't blame you. That's horrible.
This show
is awful.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to send a shout-out to our friend Big D, whose dad passed away this morning. And send out condolences to him. So.
Yeah, that sucks. I saw that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, all the best to Big D. I went through that like 2 years ago, so I know exactly how that feels. So
yeah.
Pretty tough.
That's the first thing I saw on Facebook when I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning. And him and three other of my Facebook friends, mostly people I went to school with, lost somebody this week. And been a great week and a crap week all at the same time. So.
Well, before we get started into the show, how did you like the weather, Couture, yet last night?
The weather?
The weather, yeah. The snowstorm, or the, not snowstorm, but the ice storm that we had.
We had, I don't live near you.
Well, you're probably asleep during most of it, but last night...
It's been really cold, but that's about it. It hasn't been anything else.
Besides being really cold, it rained, so you know how that goes in Texas. I was able to get to UPS, no problem, and then I'm actually glad I went because I thought about missing because basically half the trailer showed up, so it was like the slowest day we've ever had, and then they let me go home, or they let me leave early to go do the paper route, and it took me forever to get to the warehouse because I tried one way, and then there ended up being like a bridge, and the cops had that blocked off, and there were like three carts that were like wrecked on the bridge. And then I tried another way, and it was the name of the street that I was supposed to go to, but this exit basically took me two blocks, and then I hit a gated community, so I had to turn around. Finally made it, got my papers, delivered them, froze my ass off, but luckily I didn't have no problems. But I swear to God, just in the 3 or 4 hours from leaving my house and then getting back home in the morning, I must have seen just myself on the road about 20-something accidents.
Damn.
You know, like a car turned on the highway going the wrong way with a fin the front crashed in. On the other side, there's like two cars over here. I mean, they might have set a record as far as many wrecks because I don't know what happened because they knew this shit was coming for days, but they just, they waited to the last minute to go ice it, you know, to put all that shit out. And close everything. So I mean, it's like the city's own fault, you know. But it was crazy. But luckily, I had no problems. So thank God. We're not used to that. I'm sure, Craig. I'm sure you would have laughed at the conditions last night. But it's a different story down here than up there.
Yeah, I actually have a couple of friends in Texas and some family as well. And one of them posted a picture of a red Solo cup with ice in it that had been, tossed aside on the ground. And it said, "In Texas, we close the schools for this."
That was pretty funny. I saw that also.
Other places, where it happens all the time, they're used to it. They don't close the schools because everybody's always prepared for it. So.
All right. Yep. Yeah.
But I guess we could talk about our main topic. You know, we could go a lot of different ways regarding the Royal Rumble, so I'll let you guys decide what we want to talk about first or what we want to talk about.
You, Greg? You want to do main event and winner of the Rumble, and starting with number one, or do you want to...
Start from the pre-show to the main event. There's not much talk about it in the main event anyway.
Oh, my bad. Like this year's.
Yes.
See the prep we do on the show, folks.
I was not talking about preview in 1989.
Well, that's what I had up. So let me, you talk amongst yourselves.
The cameraman for this Shining pay-per-view is getting some incredible shots, I got to say.
How's the feed? The feed holding up?
Yeah, if he's holding up, and I'm seeing a whole lot of this girl named Kimberly than you would expect to see on a wrestling show.
Okay. So anyway, the Royal Rumble is this Sunday. I'd say it's the second biggest show of the year. Will you say that?
Yeah, it's not even close. It's the WrestleMania is way, way up here, and then right below is the Royal Rumble, and then way down here is SummerSlam, and then way down here is everything else.
Yeah. Other than Mania and the Rumble, those shows don't seem any like more special to me. SummerSlam is just a show. You know, there's nothing all that special about it. I mean,
this stuff doesn't happen like this on the Brian and Vinny show. anyway, yeah, I got the lineup right here. Did I interrupt you? I'm sorry, Couture.
Do what now?
I said I've got the lineup right here. I had actually gone to Wikipedia. I thought we were going to discuss, you know, past winners and things like that. My bad. Ill-prepared.
Well, we would have actually needed like 3 or 4 weeks if we're going to do all.
Well, there's 5 matches. You had to go to Wikipedia. I could have told you which matches were.
No.
He would have got a list of every Royal Rumble.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah,
we don't have time to go through all of them.
Yeah, apparently. Royal Rumble matches. In the kickoff match, which will be shown on Facebook and YouTube and WWE.com, we have the WWE Tag Champions Cody Rhodes and Goldust facing the New Age Outlaws.
I don't know what to sit on the main show. I'm really...
I could, yeah, I guess if they really needed to bump up some time, or if they're running low on time, it's good to keep the women's match off. But what if they don't run low on time?
I bet they do a women's match on the main show.
I think so as well. I can't see Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt going very long. I can't see Show and Big and Brock Lesnar going very long either.
Yeah.
So
I'd give Orton Cena probably go at least over 20 minutes.
Well, see, that's how we see it. But the WWE, they like to have long matches. They think a lot of time makes a good match, which not necessarily does it. Now, this tag match, it could be good if it's on the free show. It could be bad if it's on the free show. Most pre-show matches don't really get a lot of time, and they get a commercial. But if I'm not mistaken, did a last month's match get like a lot of time? So there's a chance they could actually have a good long match. I'm sure there'll be that goddamn commercial right in the middle of it that advertising you to buy the Royal Rumble when you're pretty much already buying the Royal Rumble. But
it's just by the time the match is over with, I remember there's a pre-show, so I usually miss it.
I'm waiting for them to actually show on TV the match.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is very important. This is the second match in a row where there's been a close-up of a camel toe. This pay-per-view is buys.
Again, this stuff doesn't happen on the Brian and Vinny show. Anyway, I'm waiting for them to actually put the match on television, and they'll put a commercial over the top of the actual match. You can still kind of see what's going on, but then they'll show the commercial like as the match is going on, but you can't see enough of the match to see what's happening. You know what I mean? Like a picture-in-picture almost.
Well, what do they do? What is the commercial? Like they'll break in during the match, during the pre-show match, for a commercial. What is the commercial usually for the pay-per-view you're supposed to buy?
Absolutely.
Pay-per-view that you've already purchased on.
The pay-per-view that I'm watching, the pre-show match is taking place at the same arena.
Well, there's the thing. You can watch the match, like I said, you can watch the match on WWE or on YouTube or on other things like that. But if you actually want to watch it on your television, you have to order the pay-per-view. They already have your money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's kind of silly. And if you think it's bad now, wait till they have a network and they don't have to sell any pay-per-views.
So there would be no commercials.
Okay.
There'll still be a commercial.
I'll give you that.
Oh, there'll still be a commercial.
There'll probably be a WWE network commercial for the network you're watching the match on.
Hurry now.
It's very true.
It's like on ECW when they would promote, do the ECW commercials on TNN while ECW was airing, you know?
Yeah.
That's the only time you'd see ECW ads.
Yeah, my favorite one was actually last night when I was watching Impact Wrestling. I have to call it Impact Wrestling because my wife hates it when my seven-year-old goes, "Are we watching TNA, Dad?" Anyway, I'm watching Impact, and like second or third commercial in, there's a long WWE commercial for the Royal Rumble. Bravo. Bravo.
Yeah, like, well, I can't hurt TNA any more than TNA person feels. So.
Good Lord. We'll get into that in a few minutes.
That show's horrible.
We'll get into that in a few minutes.
The Impact reviews that I love are back last night on the Brian and Vinny show.
Oh, my. Okay, we'll get into that in a few minutes.
Okay.
Anyway, in the tag match, couple of people, in fact, dirt sheet writers everywhere are predicting that the New Age Outlaws could actually win the title.
I hope not.
I hope not.
I don't want anybody losing their title on the pre-show. Come on.
True. But somebody losing their title on the pre-show and the men are mid to late 40s, that bothers me.
Well, to be fair, those guys don't look all that much different to when they were back in the
ashes. They might be older, but they don't look that much older, and they're still over as they were back then. I mean, they're over than 90% of the regular roster.
The same, pretty much.
I have no problem with the New Age Outlaws. Even if they win and having that short reign, I don't see a problem with it. You could always have Goldust and Cody win it back at the next pay-per-view or even WrestleMania, you know. You know, I have no problem with them losing.
There's
not 100% sure they're going to lose, but, you know, I have no problem with it.
Now, there's so many people they could face, too. I mean, with the tag division now, so.
I guess I'd like to see them drop it back to the Shield because they're so awesome.
And this pay-per-view.
Or the Usos.
The Usos, they should get a good run. They've been doing a real good job. But real quick, if I wasn't doing the show right now while watching this pay-per-view, I would be having some alone time.
Oh, my God. This kind of stuff doesn't happen on the Brian and Vinny show.
I doubt having being on the phone stops you from having your own alone time. You're probably doing something right now, as a matter of fact.
He's probably listening to the sounds of my sultry voice and going, "Oh, yeah, baby." Okay.
Hey, I hear the sounds of your sultry voice, and I'm like George and George on Seinfeld. I said, "It moved."
I'm out.
When he got the massage from the guy at the massage parlor.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, that was two guys. I'm sorry.
This is taking a turn for the weird. Second match on this card, Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt.
He could be a good match. I like
those.
They kept Bray Wyatt kind of out of the ring. They don't let him wrestle much, which I like. So kind of special when he does wrestle. So.
Absolutely.
Basically, they're gonna have a decent little match. Rowan and Harper are going to interfere. Bryan is going to be saved by Sheamus. Is going to clean the ring, and then Sheamus is going to turn on Daniel Bryan.
No, Sheamus is going to be saved till the Rumble. Everybody knows that.
Well,
I like the build. I really like the build to this. Bray Wyatt on the vignettes and on the mic is untouchable right now. He is so good. He reminds me of... He reminds me of Raven in the ECW days, or even Cactus Jack. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's different. That's the one. That's the main good thing about him. You know,
exactly.
He's different than everybody else, and he is great at playing that character. I mean, you know, it's more him playing a character than him cutting promos. You know what I mean?
Right.
Thank God they sent him back down developmental after NXT. You know, he may not have come up with a character if he didn't get somebody down there.
I'm surprised there's still not asking him to
be
involved.
Maybe still Husky Harris.
Right.
So, Ed, you're predicting some kind of screw job, Katrina yourself?
No decision.
Okay. Okay. I could see it going one of two ways. They rushed Daniel Bryan's face turn so quickly that I think they might give Daniel Bryan the win and blow this whole thing off and move on, or they're not, and they'll go to some kind of a no decision, like you say.
Or they could do something where Bray Wyatt wins, they beat him down afterwards, and maybe he comes back and wins the Rumble or something. You never know.
Okay. For your Marty Jannetty update on Facebook as we speak, since this show is in fact live, he has now taken to posting pictures of muscle-bound women and, anyway, that's distracting to me. I will move that from there.
Speaking of muscle-bound women, Mercedes Martinez just got into the ring, and this woman literally scares me.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you have some kind of a regulator on your women. Oh, by the way, I apologize for the horse comment about you the other night. Mostly.
So what?
Okay, never mind. You didn't hear it.
This doesn't happen on a Vinny show.
Third matchup. We have Big Show versus Brock Lesnar.
I think this would be pretty good.
Think so?
Yeah, Big Show, he was, I know it was a long time ago, but when he first came in, Big Show was, like, one of his best opponents. Because he could, like, throw him around and shit. And they actually had some decent matches, so.
Yeah,
it'll be an impressive match because Big Show will be throwing Brock around, and that'll be impressive, and then Brock will throw Big Show around, and that'll be even more impressive. And
I like the other night, he just picked that fucker up and just tossed him over the top rope.
That when he jumped up and he jumped back and fell back and took that back bump, that afterwards he kettled spot. That was awesome. Brock Lesnar is like, he bumps like he's freaking Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
There was one person in my living room that screamed like a woman, and it wasn't my wife when he did that. I thought he was dead for sure.
Then he tripped over the monitor.
When he tumbled out of there, I was like, oh my gosh, dead for sure. That scared the crap out of me. He's been taking these ridiculous bumps. And,
a lot of people didn't have like a problem with the Big Show tossing him around. They've been 7 feet tall and 500 pounds. It's not strange to me.
True. If anybody's going to toss Brock Lesnar around, it would be Big Show.
Yeah. Maybe he backed down to the Big Show. Well, everybody backs down at some point, heels, you know?
Right.
It's pro wrestling. Even as tough as the heels always back down at some point. So.
Yeah. I have a perverse desire to see him and Big Dave in the ring, too.
Big Dave didn't look too big.
I think it'd be a fun match.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah.
At least he's actually dressing like a douche. You know, that's a good thing. I
love it. I almost wish he would have had like an Affliction t-shirt on or something and, you know, come out with the two Jersey Shore guys, you know. He's such a douche. 45-year-old man wearing skinny jeans. I'll say it again. Unreal. I think Brock has to win this. If he's going to Taker at Mania, then Brock has to win.
Yeah, he's going to win, and then the lights are going to go off, and you're going to hear a dong.
Yes, nothing like the dong making an entrance. That sounded lewd. Remember the last time? You remember the Hell in the Cell match that those two had?
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember the most disgusting thing about that Hell in the Cell match?
The blood.
dripping right into is it Brock's mouth?
I think it was the Taker's one that was busted open bad. It was like dripping out like a faucet.
Yeah, and there was a point where it might have even been the Gogo Plata. It was some spot where Taker was bleeding like crazy. I think he just had him in a head and arm. And Taker was bleeding so badly, Brock went to, fell, and he goes, and like blood just dripped straight into Taker's mouth. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen on their match at WrestleMania, but.
I promise it won't happen. It would be really cool if it did. Next match, WWE World Heavyweight Champion Randy Orton will be wrestling the better late than never John Cena.
In 2014.
Well, he ran to the building. Give him a break. I mean, it's not like he ran, he didn't just drive.
Well, that's because it's cold out there. That's why he's running.
And he doesn't run fast, so,
And apparently he shows up to work late.
I'll say it again. Somebody beats up my dad, I'm there early. That's all I'm saying. I'm not late. Ridiculous.
Well, maybe Nikki wanted some before the show, and he had to.
See, that's the only thing I could think that could be acceptable to be late. So, thank you, Ed.
Or maybe she wanted some, but she wouldn't sign the agreement.
He was just pleading with her for hours.
The sex, well, they got a cohabitation agreement. Maybe they got a sex agreement, so you got to sign a form. Something's worth a lot of money.
She must have put like a cup down without a coaster, and he must have just like blew a stack and called his lawyer and shit.
Okay.
Well, then the things are bitches to deal with, on the coffee tables. So.
Update from Marty Jannetty's Facebook page. This is going to happen throughout the show. He has now gone through posting pictures of more rats, and he just posted a picture with him and the boogeyman and chimp.
He could at least be funny and post pictures of actual rats, like the animals.
And the countdown, the countdown is at 10, whatever that means.
We'll get to one. What happens? Shotgun goes off.
Maybe something bad, I hope, doesn't happen, but we'll see. Okay, getting back.
These are the people I don't follow. This is what some of the, I don't stay on Facebook much, other than just like the basic stuff, messaging you guys or something, putting up a wacky video. I don't need being other people's business. Ugh.
That's fair. Okay, so I think Randy retains on this one.
Yeah, Cena, he didn't need it. There's no point in him winning. Although I don't really need to see Batista and Orton WrestleMania.
Yeah, I hear you.
A million times. And that match, I wouldn't even have a title on the line in that match. That doesn't need a championship, I don't think. They could, So, I don't know.
Yeah. To me, a bigger match would be Batista and Cena, if you really think about it. It's really hard. It's like, other than Undertaker and Brock, they could go so many different ways. I mean, so like, who's Cena going to wrestle? You know what I mean? I mean, is Bray Wyatt really big enough to
win
at this point? Who's Bryan going to wrestle?
Punk's locked in with Triple H pretty much, right? So we know right now.
Yeah, Punk and Triple H are pretty much locked in, it seems like.
Right. And then what about the rumors of Wyatt and Wyatt and John Cena? Does that put Daniel Bryan back into the hunt with Randy Orton?
Well, the Pro Wrestling Spyware, they're reporting that it's going to be Bryan against Sheamus. That's why I made that comment about Sheamus earlier.
Oh, okay. I can't see that happening so soon. But
nothing might happen a million times.
Especially at WrestleMania. I've seen it twice already. And the
was really short.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one didn't count.
And
that's right.
Daniel Bryan's going to be fucking Sheamus in 10 seconds with the flying knee. You know, I don't really want to see this match.
Actually, you know what? That would be kind of awesome.
What, 18 second win over Sheamus?
Yeah. Like, do it in like 8 seconds. Half the time. Daniel Bryan runs across the ring, hits him with a flying knee, 1, 2, 3. That would be kind of awesome, actually.
I was still hoping Shawn and Daniel Bryan would wrestle at WrestleMania.
Oh, you don't know how many times I've got on my knees and said, Lord, I'm a simple man. I don't ask for much.
That would be that match would be more of a wet dream than what this pay-per-view's been.
Yeah.
Not like the story ain't there. The story's already been written for it. I mean, you know. So, might as well do it.
Yeah. One thing about this pay-per-view.
I can't think of any other person for him to come out of retirement against.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll happen. If it's not this year, next year, or in Dallas, I mean, but I think it'll happen eventually. But, real quick about this pay-per-view, as much as the comments I made, I will say that this three matches in, this is one of the best wrestling pay-per-views I've seen as far as actual wrestling. They're carrying it up tonight.
Okay. Update from Marty Jannetty. He's having mahi-mahi somewhere. And
head of a dumpster?
Now, hold on. And he is posing with a statue of what could be Wild Bill, Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill, like from Silence of the Lambs?
No. The one that
he was most known as the interest gets the hose again?
Yes, no. Put the lotion in the basket or gets the hose. No, he's Buffalo Bill, the carved wooden statue of Buffalo Bill, and he's offering...
Oh, Cowboy.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes, the one that actually shot Buffalo. And our countdown is at 7, just to let you know.
Oh, God.
Yes, Annie, it does have fake eyebrows. Thank you, Matt Cleary. Okay. Main event, of course, the 30-man, the superstar, over-the-top Royal Rumble. Who's the winner?
Right now, I'm going to say Batista, just from everything we've read and heard, so...
After that rating, I can't see them. After the Daniel Bryan thing, like where he had that big reaction, I was thinking maybe they could throw Daniel in there as a surprise and have him win. But after Batista's rating, it's going to be Batista.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm probably leaning that way. It wouldn't shock me, of course, if they did do it with Alberto Del Rio, but actually, you know what? That would kind of shock me if they put it on Alberto. But who's to say? It might be somebody from clear out of left field, Rey Mysterio, doubtful.
No.
I don't know. I'm just throwing out a name. But the Rumble is always fun. Surprises, like I said, the other night I saw Justin Roberts tweet out a picture of him and Jimmy Wang Yang, or Yang Wang, or I can't remember. So more than likely he's going to be there. Heard rumblings of Jake the Snake, of course, which would be tremendous. And,
apparently Jimmy's like big buzz with Batista or something.
That's
what I read in the update today.
Something like that. But
I guess Rob Van Dam may be coming back this weekend.
That's another rumor that's been
maybe
swirling
Jericho?
About.
Jericho?
Another rumor that's been swirling about. Wouldn't it be awesome if he came in and won?
Who, Rob Van Dam?
Yeah.
I know, I don't see it either, but it'd be really cool. It'd throw everybody off. Jericho and Jericho and Orton at Mania, I'd be up for that.
Yeah,
and Jericho's been beat this 2 years. So I don't know their main person to beat him.
This Rumble this whole Rumble has been telegraphed because basically you know who's doing the Iron Man gimmick this year. It's going to be CM Punk. You know who's going to do the Kane spot and eliminate everybody, and that's Roman Reigns. And you pretty much know that Batista's going to win. So, I mean, I can see them throwing in something for Shawn Michaels, but
I can see Punk laughing to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, right till the end, and then, like, you know, the Outlaws or somebody fuck him over for a Triple H.
Mm-hmm. What if he lasts till the end and Alberto dumps him out and Big Dave dumps Alberto, and then you got a natural feud between Alberto and Punk? Or maybe
Alberto.
Dave dumps Alberto. Anyway.
I really don't want to see Alberto in any main match at WrestleMania. That dude, he's just fallen so far down. I mean, it's as bad as Ziggler.
Really, the only reason he's with the Batista stuff is just because so Batista had somebody to beat up when he came back, so.
He seems to be the underlying figure on everybody's radar, though. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I
just figured it was because Batista was coming back and he needs somebody kind of semi-big name for him to beat up.
Okay.
Although he's just came out, right?
What's that?
I said, guess who just came out on this pay-per-view, Craig?
I have no idea.
I'll give you the answer. You don't need to think about it. Serena Deeb and her two giant breasts just made an appearance on the giant pay-per-view.
I'm a fan of all three of those girls.
Yeah.
Especially with half the hair because it made them look bigger.
Yeah.
No, they are huge, even with her having long hair, dude.
Yeah.
She's looking very hot tonight.
Quite an attractive girl. I'm a fan of her, and she likes to party.
Yeah. And we're at number at the third Camel Toe of the night in 4 matches.
Jeez. Okay, Marty Jannetty update. We're at number 3. He's posted a picture of a couple of action figures. There's a Rob Van Dam holding a Betty Boop. There is a Marty Jannetty holding a large plastic fork and what looks like Rod Carew. And we're at number 3.
Maybe he was playing Marty Jannetty against Abdul the Butcher, that's why he had the fork.
At number four on his updates, we have him about to slingshot Shawn Michaels into a cage. So, okay, we're coming up. We only have 2 more. Until number 1, hopefully we don't hear a gunshot at the end of all this.
I see a photo of somebody's slit wrist.
Yeah. So anyway, that is the Royal Rumble. That is this weekend. Of course, check out your cable company, local satellite, local cable, and check that out. Also, if you go to WWE.com right now, you can see they basically have a list of the best eliminations, the 100 wildest eliminations in Royal Rumble history. Total elimination, best Rumble knockouts. There's a picture of Gene Snitsky throwing a clothesline to a helpless Paul London.
That was awesome.
He did a picture of Paul London. Yeah. What a fool. So, yeah, that was a classic. And what is Kofi going to get away with this year?
I don't know.
Maybe he'll actually ride a pogo stick.
I'm like,
the year he's been having, I can see him trying to do something and just fucking it all up and just having to leave.
They should bring back, and when he gets eliminated, he can have, like, jetpack thrusters in his boots, and he just levitates over the ring.
Maybe they can get somebody to throw him into the crowd, and the fans will physically lift him back in the ring. All of Spike Dudley and Bam Bam Bigelow from ECW.
Well, you think they want to get sued or something?
Well, you'd have marks out, or you'd have plants out there in amongst the marks. Yeah. You ever see that spot where Bam Bam Bigelow took Spike Dudley and just launched him into, like, the fourth row,
and
they crowd surfed him?
They surfed him all the way around the arena. It was awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so that's a Royal Rumble. Make sure you check that out. And as Ed mentioned, immediately following that, I will be up with Brian and Vince doing a recap of the show. I'm kind of excited about the airtime I've been getting as of late.
I like how Brian was making a comment about, yeah, Craig, the board loves you now, but they're going to hate you in a week or two. And I can see that happening, and I can actually see you getting very upset and hurt about it.
That's why I'm going to cancel my subscription from the board. Or just continue to be awesome, one or the other. Maybe I'll do both.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I'm eagerly awaiting Marty Jannetty number one here on Facebook. Katrari, you should pull up the list for Hall of Fame stuff, and I will keep you updated as soon as I hear from Mr. Jannetty.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
And if people are wondering who actually are wrestling and winning matches here, the first match, this really hot little number named Kimberly beat Sojo Darling. And then the second match, Amber O'Neill in a very incredible Catwoman suit beat La Rosa Negra, who has a nice little ass on her. And then Mercedes Martinez defeated Su Yang in a very good match. And right now, Serena Deeb and Santana Garrett are having a very good match. And Santana Garrett has an incredible face. I'm surprised she's actually not in WWE.
Santana Garrett, nice Irish girl.
I don't know if she's Irish, but she's you remember when Orlando Jordan got in trouble because he had a couple companions with him, a guy and a girl. She's the girl in the
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
She is quite
the looker.
You remember that?
The looker.
But you remember that story a few months ago about that one guy who went crazy and he killed his girlfriend and posted about it on Facebook, and he was a used to be in NXT for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when I had gone to that first game with Evan and Peach, we were talking about different things on the way out, and somehow they brought up that guy because they both knew that guy because he's from St. Louis, and they were telling the story, and they were talking about how the guy was saying that he wasn't going to get taken by the police, he was going to go out in a firefight, and then I was like, well, he didn't actually do that. And they said the reason he didn't is because for some reason he called Santana Garnett's father, and he convinced him that to turn himself in so, nobody else would get hurt or anything. So just a random trivia since she's in the match right here.
So fast time to post on Facebook about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird.
Last night there was a it made the local news here. Obviously it wouldn't have made your guys' news, but there was a kid in Oregon who was going to the University of Oregon, and his roommate ended up coming into the hospital stabbed. Somebody had stabbed him. And the news crew, of course, went to his house, and they started interviewing his roommate, and do you know what happened here? He's like, I stabbed him. And the reporter's like, you stabbed him? Yeah, he was being loud. Oh, okay. It's like, huh.
Can't take that noise.
Real quick, a little story from high school is there was this one girl. She was a couple years younger than me. She was, I didn't know her very well, but she was very incredibly hot, and she was actually super cool. And somehow, some reason, she got into some kind of argument with a little skater dude. And they start arguing, and the next thing you know, they start strapping it on, and she kicks his ass. So like, I went home, and after school, when we were in football practice, and because we saw the ambulance pull up, the dude came back with a pocket knife and fucking stabbed her in the back.
Holy crap.
Well, that's just
yeah.
rude.
I mean, it wasn't like really, really bad, but I mean, the poor girl got stabbed and had to be taken to the hospital in an ambulance, you know. But, yeah, it was crazy.
I don't know what to say to that.
The one reason I'm with the women, you never know which one's going to be able to kick your ass.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of, we're talking about some of these, legal stuff with some people in wrestling. The Ted DiBiase's son was arrested.
Like a long ass standoff, and the SWAT team shot in like tear gas or whatever.
Yeah, it was Mike DiBiase, son of Ted DiBiase.
Oh.
And arrested after a long conversation with Amarillo Police Department and SWAT team. According to the police department, officers were told that a man wanted for a parole revocation violation since at a building where several businesses are located and was trying to break through a wall. Police tried contacting suspects who they believed had access to weapons in the building. Negotiators were brought in. It wasn't until more than 17 hours later, at 5:10 a.m., that the SWAT team used chemical agents to force the suspect out of the building. He was found hiding and taken into custody and taken to Randall County Jail. I wonder if Dennis Stamp was like the security guard at the place he broke in.
He would have talked him to death.
Maybe they talked him into going to jumping on the trampoline in his underwear or something. I don't know, with weights. Anyway. Actually, bro, he actually wrestled Mike DiBiase for a couple of years.
I have to take your word on that.
Well, you should. I just said it. It says it right here. You think I'm fucking lying?
I have no memory.
I feel big. I'll make up that guy that actually had a wrestling career.
Yeah. I had no idea.
We move.
Yeah. Okay. Contreras, what's next on the agenda?
I don't know.
Treat.
Anybody have anything to say about Pass Royal Rumbles, or do y'all want to get into that or not? It don't matter to me.
Yeah, we got about 40 minutes left. Maybe we should
get the question for the same answer?
No. We're going to skip that.
This should be fun.
Only
sure.
For you guys.
I've got a bunch of people that sent me stuff.
Anyway, update from the Shine pay-per-view. Serena Deeb just defeated Santana Garnett in what was actually one hell of an awesome freaking match.
Yeah, I predicted that would happen in the match.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And we got very close to a boob slippage, but that damn double bra held those puppies in.
Okay, this question comes from Don in Greasy Corner, Arkansas. Don writes, "Dear Craig, I've been watching a lot of Crockett from the NWA Crockett from 1986. Uh-huh. Can you give us a brief history of the United States Tag Team title and the cultural implications?"
I will answer this the way I got out of most of my tests in school. The cultural implications were many. As you know, there was tag teams and there was tag team champions. And without tag team champions, it would not be, of course, tag team wrestling. And what is tag team wrestling? Well, it's the basis of everything that is good in wrestling. And if everything is good in wrestling, there could be no bad, but without any bad, there would be no heels. And when it all comes down to it, it's all about the heels versus the baby faces. So yes, tag team wrestling, without it, there would be no wrestling. Thank you.
You just gave an answer where nobody learned a goddamn thing.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the way I BS'd my way through.
He did a good job. That was pretty sick.
And you know damn well that we've all done that on a test at school or something where you had to write some of that shit. And you've written it down where you write a bunch of shit but you just don't say anything. And you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Just
absolutely.
So you can have a lot of words written
that's
down.
That's what someone's talking about. When I went to the Blog Talk Radio to copy and paste the stuff and send it to Brian, or I forgot what it was, but there was something in the update talking about the U.S. tag team titles. And I was like, what the fuck is Steve talking about? When did we talk about that on the show?
Well, that was on last week. I put it in the description because I was going to do this last week, but we never got around to it. We never got around to embarrassing Craig last week, so I thought I'd embarrass him this week. The U.S. Tag Team title came out of the National Tag Team title. See, the National Tag Team title was from Georgia, so when Crockett bought the time slot, the National Tag Team Champions came over to the Crockett organization, and it ended up Ole and Arn Anderson were the champions, but then the Road Warriors and Dusty Rhodes broke Ole's leg in the Omni on January the 1st of 1986, and so got stripped of the titles. And instead of bringing the national titles back, they just renamed it the U.S. Tag Team titles, and Ivan Koloff and Crusher Khrushchev beat the Kansas Jayhawks and the Omni to win the tournament. You remember that?
I remember the way you won the national tag team titles is you won that tournament on Thanksgiving.
Do what?
That tournament, they would have a tag team tournament on Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, they'd
end up winning the national title. Because I remember when I started watching wrestling, Bullet Bob and Brad won the tournament, and they were the national tag team champions because of it.
I think they were doing some of the highlights of that on the, there's a Georgia clips I put up. There were some highlights. There was like a tag team with Randy Savage and Magnum TA. Weird.
Wow.
Yeah, they would bring people in on those. The best part of those videos there's a whole lot of best parts of those videos you posted because they have some awesome interviews. But I just love seeing those old Omni commercials. It's like, to me growing up, it was like, who gives a fuck about Madison Square Garden? I want to go to the fucking Omni.
Yeah. I had my mom take me to the Omni. She said, honey, it's in Georgia. We live in Mississippi. We cannot go to the Omni. Boom. I watched those clips, and like the biggest stars I took from those clips were Tommy Rich, Buzz Sawyer, the Road Warriors, and Paul Ellering, I think, were like the biggest stars.
Yeah, and Larry Zbyszko
was a hell of a manager back when he was a heel, managing a bunch of different people. He was a great man. You never really noticed it when he was just with the Road Warriors because he didn't do much.
Yeah. What's funny is, I saw one of the things where he's with the Iron Sheik, and the Iron Sheik's doing the Persian Club, and it was only a year or two before where in Mid-South, Paul Ellering took the Persian Club Challenge and was, doing it. And then, it was basically like the Backlund angle, but with just Paul Ellering instead in Mid-South.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was jacked. He was a jacked old man. And his daughter is a power lifter or something, and I think she's trying to go to the Olympics or something, because I remember Lance Storm was posting pictures of her.
Paul Ellering, he did that fucking dog sled race, the Iditarod, like in Antarctica or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Serious.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's done that. He's done that a few times.
Huh.
He's a pretty smart dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that wasn't just like a gimmick, him holding the Wall Street Journal.
That was a shoot New York Times that he had.
He was a shoot manager. He took care of all their shit.
Yeah.
He's one of the only, I think, probably him. I guess Cornell was probably a shoot manager for Midnight Express, huh? I figure he probably handled all that stuff for real.
Yeah.
He kind of
talked about that on the Steve Austin show a few weeks ago.
Gary Hart was kind of a shoot manager, too, a little bit when he had to be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, just throwing that out here, I heard the Stone Cold interview with Rowdy Piper, parts 1 and 2. That's totally worth checking out. I mean, it's really good.
Steve Austin is like the greatest at doing those.
Update for the China pay-per-view. Austin Kong just came out, the smaller version. And
right.
He's coming out with Daphne, who's wearing this miniature top hat. And, okay. I thought Awesome Kong had her hair in the shape of a top hat, but she actually just took the weak part of it out, so. But she looks so different, man. It's like, she must have lost, 60, 70 pounds.
Jeez, good for her.
She's still a big girl and whip all our asses at one time, but, you know, it's a big difference.
Good to know.
I just forgot what I was saying. It interrupted me.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Well, now you know how Craig feels. You interrupt him all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
I don't do it on purpose.
Hey, I thought we were going to go over the Observer Awards, by the way.
I have them in front of me if you want to do that.
Yeah, let's
kind of talk about that for the next half hour.
Okay, that's cool. We can embarrass Craig again next week.
Sure, we got another one a week.
I got a question next week. It's from Solomon in Pease Knuckles, Arkansas.
Pease Knuckles, Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You have any better
than
Camel Course?
Better than Camel Toe, Ohio, or wherever is watching that pay-per-view. So.
Nothing from Intercourse, Pennsylvania?
Picklewood, Washington. I think that's a place up there. I got a letter from somebody there, too.
Okay.
So the Lutez Ric Flair Award rest of the year was Tanahashi.
Okay.
I don't know why y'all vote for these Japanese. Don't y'all remember Pearl Harbor and y'all giving them all the awards?
You know, I kind of at before we did the show before when Craig wasn't here, and I kind of picked a lot of I did pick the Japanese for a lot of these awards, but it's like they won so many it was like overkill. It's like now I'm resenting it. Now it's like what the fuck.
Yep. And let's see. Second place was Okada. Third was Daniel Bryan. Fourth is John Cena. Fifth, CM Punk. Sixth is Kenta. And seven is Shinsuke Nakamura.
Nicely done. Kenta's still in the top five, huh?
He's the main guy.
Didn't he have cancer? Didn't he retire?
No, you're thinking of Kenta Kobayashi. This is just Kenta. And he's actually the main guy in NOAH. I think he's hurt right now, but he's the main guy in NOAH now.
Hmm. He's a heck of a wrestler. One of the better matches I've ever seen live he took part in. So.
To the Indian.
I play
the Indian where Tyson is still for like 36.
The next category is mixed martial arts most valuable. George St. Pierre was number one. Ronda Rousey was two. John Jones was three. Velasquez was four. Anderson Silva was five, and Chris Weidman was six. Yeah, that's how I picked it. That was my top six too.
That's actually a pretty good ranking because I would say Ronda, but Ronda didn't have that many fights, whereas GSP had like three big ones. You know what I mean? So, and he did make a lot of money. So, it's you got to give it to GSP. You know, I mean, that's only fair for this year.
Absolutely.
We can see most outstanding wrestler. Tanahashi won this one. Number two was Daniel Bryan. Number three, Okada. Number four, CM Punk. Number five, Negro Casas. Six is Shinsuke Nakamura. Seven, Antonio Cesaro. That's kind of surprising.
Well, he did have a lot of good matches. But
his position on the show is kind of, you know.
It's kind of unfair as far as like, because basically the two main two or three categories is Tanahashi and Daniel Bryan. But Tanahashi gets to have all these long matches with all these different opponents where Bryan, you know, he's limited just because of what the WWE does. So, you know, it's easy to say Tanahashi this year. But, I mean, really, honestly, it could go either way because you're talking about, like, two guys who are, like, probably the best as far as everything.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to be in the Well, in the network starts on the live NXT special, they're going to have like a 2 or 3 fall. Didn't he have a match with like Sami Zayn or something that people were raving about last year?
A few of them.
They're doing like a 2 or 3 fall rematch or something on that live special. So
good. That'll be tremendous.
Number eight was Shibata. Number nine was Prince Devitt. And 10 was Tomohiro Ishii.
Prince Deva is phenomenal. And I would probably actually put him at number one, but that's just me.
Or outstanding wrestler?
Yeah, that guy is phenomenal.
That's too high there. He's awesome, but he's not. You're reaching right there.
Most outstanding fighter of the year was won by Cain Velasquez. Number two is John Jones. Number three was Johnny Hendricks. Four was Chris Weidman. Five, St. Pierre. Six, Vitor Belfort. Seven, Demetrius Johnson. Eight, Anthony Pettis. Nine, Jiraiya Faber. And 10, Ronda Rousey.
Ronda's way too low. But you basically, Kane's the best choice because he just beat the second best heavyweight by like miles and miles above the third best heavyweight, like handily for five rounds. I mean, he's the dude gets hurt a lot, unfortunately. But as far as what he's done in the matches, I mean, he's been awesome. I would give, as much as I hate this division and these little dudes, I have to give Demetrius Johnson a nod. I mean, he even had you could argue him having the best year because he's just had, you know, he's had good opponents and he's beat all these opponents convincingly. And I can't stand the little dude, but I mean, he keeps winning. He had an outstanding year. And then I think the third would be Ronda. Johnny Hendricks is overrated. I mean, if he had been that badass, he would have won the match and made it clear that he won the match, and he didn't. So.
I
agree.
I think John Jones is too low on that. I think John Jones needs to be up higher.
His John Jones
awesome.
Almost lost to a guy who was like,
yes,
who was in the contender. So,
he almost lost.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay,
I just don't like them.
The next category was best box office draw, and number one was.
We don't need to talk about this.
Do what?
We don't need to talk about this. Brian's argument is actually valid.
Yeah, and I know. I like how Dave kind of blew him off.
What, that it should not be a category because you can base it
on
that.
Yeah, it should be a category, and Dave's just like, whatever.
Here's how much money.
Well, I will say, you could say that somebody could say the best box office draw is like what individual like made you want to like purchase a show or something like that. I don't know. It's a weird category. So anyway, George St. Pierre was one, Rock was two, Cena was three, Tanahashi was four, Brock Lesnar was five, Ronda Rousey was six, Anderson Silva was seven, and Daniel Bryan was eight.
This is actually the closest year for this category because you actually would have to go and look between GSP and The Rock. You know what I mean? The Rock really only had the one pay-per-view. The Rumble 2. So he had two compared to GSP 3. You'd really have to, like, check it out, I mean, and study it for this year. It's a lot closer than past years because, you know, if it wasn't for the GSP and The Rock, basically it's John Cena all the way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I can see GSP winning it. I mean, he did have three fights, and that's a big thing. I mean, you know,
yep.
That's a lot of fights for an MMA fighter for a year.
The feud of the year, the winner was Tanahashi versus Okada. Number two was Ronda Rousey versus Misha Tate. Number three was Hiroki Goto versus Shibata. Number four was CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar. Number five was CM Punk versus Paul Heyman. George St. Pierre versus Nate Diaz was six. The Shield versus Kane and Daniel Bryan. Seven, Negro Casas versus Rush was eight. Number nine was La Sombra versus Volador Jr. And 10 was CM Punk versus The Rock. Actually, I thought the Punk Heyman of a feud was probably bigger than the Brock Lesnar feud. I guess because
yeah,
it went on long.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I guess it's fair that Tanahashi and Okada won because they did have four matches and four big matches. So after that, a close second though was Ronda and Misha because that was just great. I mean, you're talking about two bitches just hating each other and and just being bitches about it. I mean, you can't beat the coach's challenge on The Ultimate Fighter where Ronda won the rock climbing contest, and when they were both being lowered, she just started shooting both fingers and saying, "Fuck you, bitch," to Misha. I mean, it's awesome. But, and then the snub of the handshake after the fight, I mean, that was incredible. If it wasn't for Okada Tanahashi, that it wouldn't have been close. That would have been the winner.
I've never sat in a room full of men number one, were lusting after both women, and more of them hating the one that they knew was going to win.
Speaking of women, fourth camel toe in 5 matches. And Austin Collins just kills this poor little girl. Oh, my gosh. He just, like, killed her, dude.
Please tell me.
You see camel toes in your sleep or something.
There's just a lot of tight outfits tonight. I can't help it. And good camel work. The same WWE DTV or CGTV.
Okay, moving along.
Ironically, Tanahashi versus Okada was the winner of the feud of the year last year too, or in 2012. So, tag team of the year was Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Number two was Goldust and Cody. Number three, the Young Bucks. Number four, Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance Archer. Five, Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov. Six, Christopher Daniels and Frank Kazarian. Seven was Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Eight was Jack Evans and Angelico. Nine was Koji Kanemoto and Minoru Tanaka. And 10 was the Usos. I can't really argue with the number one here.
I can in a way that, you know, even though Dave specifically said on one of the shows that you have to vote for Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, I guarantee you everyone, or the majority of the people voted because of all three.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Sure.
But now that they're not deserving because they've been champions, they were champions for a long time and have good matches. But the one, to me, it's the team that's kind of low that to me should have had, could, in my opinion, could have won would have been Davey Boy and Lance Hoyt. Or Lance Archer, actually, was his name. They've had a great year in Japan. And same thing with Red Dragon. Red Dragon's had a good year. They're kind of low. But, you know, I mean, and Goldust and Cody have had a great year, too. So, I mean, tag team has picked up this year and over the last few years.
This is like the tag teams in WWE has gone, like, this is the best it's been in, I don't know, it seems like a decade just about. And TNA, that division's gone to shit. Hopefully it'll get better with Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards in there, but they got the bromance to feud with. It's kind of, I don't know, kind of brings your titles down a little bit, in my opinion. So, anyway, the next one was, and actually the Freebirds did win Tag Team of the Year 1 year because, like in 1980 with all three guys, so it's not like it's a precedent for it.
You know, I actually have the sound off on this on iPay-per-view, but I just remembered that actually Rob Naylor is doing commentary on the show tonight.
Is that right?
Yeah, he tweeted about it. Facebook posted about it, and yeah, so I'm actually going to make sure I rewatch it because I want, you know, he's pretty funny.
The most improved wrestler of the year was won by Roman Reigns. Number two was Tomohiro Ishii. Number three was Goldust, which is kind of surprising considering how old he is. But, I mean, you can't complain about his work. He has been the best he's been in years. Four was Lance Archer. Five was Adam Cole. Six, Davey Boy Smith Jr. Seven, Magnus. Eight, Big E Langston. Nine, Cody Rhodes. And 10, Terrence Terrell.
Adam Terrence a little low.
Yeah, she's a little low. I mean, her feud with Gail Kim was awesome. She's just the only thing that kind of screwed her over. She got pregnant and hasn't been on TV for a while. I think Lance Archer is pretty low. I think he's actually very deserving of winning it himself. And maybe not winning it, but I think Mia Yam should at least get an honorable mention because that girl is, like, I mean, incredible strides. She's so awesome now. But, you know, Roman Reigns, you know, I can see him winning because he's on WWE, and he has improved quite a bit. I mean, I used to think they had to hide him at first, and, you know, now he's shining. I mean, that Superman punch is, like, one of the best. That's got to win move of the year next year.
That's one of those moves that's going to be like the RKO where you can just – he can pull it out almost anywhere. You know, a guy's coming off the top rope, and then boom, you know, this can be done on the floor. It can be done – you know, it's just one of those really great moves. You can hit it on a big man, or you can hit it on a small guy, which is just perfect. So,
well, he's got two of the hot moves, you know, the Superman punch and the spear. You know, everybody mm-hmm. always pops for the spear and all that, so –
You bet.
And you know, the way the Superman punch looks like, it's like almost out of a movie. Some people have made the comment. And they're in Raw. They're in one of the commercial breaks. They had a commercial for this new Frankenstein movie. And this guy is with all the CG special effects is throwing a Superman punch at some demon. And it doesn't even look close to as cool or as good as the Roman Reigns punch. With no CGI.
True that.
I would have... I think Jesse Goddard should deserve to be on this list. Because he's, I think he's
yeah.
That ought to show you how many people are not watching TNA. So.
You're absolutely right, actually. He should have been on that list. He's tremendous on the mic, obviously, but he's improved leaps and bounds.
I like Biggie Langston has gotten a lot better. I really like him.
Mm. Yeah, he's gotten pretty good. There was actually a lot of people who could be considered, but quick update, Tracy's mother's daughter is wrestling in a tag match, and some little, like, 5-year-old girl guy took a swing at her as she was walking by the ring.
Uh-oh.
What's her name?
Tracy didn't say that. He might flip out.
I think she's going out with...
mother?
She's going out with skid marks, isn't she?
It might be the one. There's two of them. And, one's pretty and one's, I think, not. And, this is a Jesse Bella. She's very good looking. She's a redhead.
I think that's the one. Don't quote me on
that's
that.
That's all the way to go. It's skid marks. And you know, always make sure when you go somewhere, you got clean underneath. That's what your parents always told you. In case something happens.
One of the girls in this match, Solo Darling, she's an incredibly hot little looker, but she's like the size of a hobbit. I mean, she's just barely taller than El Torito. And she's got pretty boots
okay,
like El Torito, so she really looks like she could be his, like, tag team partner.
The best on interviews, number one was Paul Heyman. Number two was CM Punk. Number three, The Rock. Number four was Mark Henry, which is kind of surprising to me. Five was Chael Sonnen. Six was John Cena. Seven was Bray Wyatt. Eight was Bully Ray. Nine, Daniel Bryan. And 10, Dean Ambrose. I can't argue with Paul Heyman being number one.
Yeah,
I really can't argue with that list and the numbering because that's pretty accurate. I mean, some people might say Bray's a little low, but he's still new,
yes.
So he's still got to catch on a little more.
I wouldn't be
Paul
surprised him next year.
The best.
Yeah.
The other day, I forgot who Brian was arguing with about who was a better promo, either CM Punk or John Cena, and I honestly think Cena's actually. Not every time because sometimes they give him shit to say, but when John Cena's on, I think he's actually better than Punk.
Hmm. If they let him say some of his own stuff, he'd probably be really awesome.
Yeah. He's got some
I
big
money promos.
Mark
Henry was so high
with that
like
they said, he did have the best promo of the year.
I think that's all based on like that angle he did with Cena when he was retiring.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I mean, that was so awesome. I mean, it was like...
My money was
word.
The best angle last year, you know? I thought that was the best angle last year. Was the Mark Henry retirement deal.
Well, with all that said, I would switch Mark Henry and Bray Wyatt on that numbering system, and then I'd be more than happy.
I could see Bray Wyatt winning next year.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Let's see. Most charismatic. Number one was Tanahashi. Number two was The Rock. Number, let's see. Three was John Cena. Four was Daniel Bryan. Five was Nakamura. Six was CM Punk. Seven, Brock Lesnar, 8 with Minoru Suzuki, 9 Nitro Casas, and 10 Chael Sonnen.
I don't know. I mean, Tanahashi's charismatic, but he ain't no charismatic than The Rock or John Cena. I mean, that's just, I guess that's when he won that one. That's when it was overkill as far as the Japanese for me. But, yeah, I just don't
when the Rock's in the running, when The Rock's in the running, it's hard for me to say anybody more charismatic than him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Again, true.
Best technical wrestler was 1, Daniel Bryan, 2 was Tanahashi, 3 was Antonio Cesaro, 4 Blue Panther, 5 Zack Sabre Jr., 6 was Okada, 7 was Nakamura, 8 Prince Devitt, 9 Davey Richards, and 10 was Kenta.
This
is a ninth straight year that Bryan Danielson won this award for the ninth straight year. So.
Well, going back to the last category, as far as Nakamura being in the running, he has that, like, total douchebag chemistry, charismatic thing going where it's like, he's an awesome wrestler, but it's like, God, I can't stand that motherfucker.
Okay.
But yeah, Daniel Bryan deservedly, you know, he's winning it on, he is winning it on reputation now, but I mean, really, I mean, who's a better technical wrestler than Daniel Bryan? Dave said something about Blue Panther. Yeah, maybe Blue Panther 10, 15 years ago when he was still young and could move, but not now. Dave's out of his mind as far as that.
I'm okay with all of that. Daniel Bryan's great. Kenta's great. I haven't seen a ton of Japan this year, though, so like, you know, I can't argue about number one, but just like what Ed said, Blue Panther, I mean, come on. I mean, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, he's not bad, but I saw that pay-per-view or that big show, and the dude moves so goddamn slow now, he's so old. I mean, it was a good match,
yeah.
But it's just that it's long and gone. It's like that, it's over for Blue Panther as far as that.
I think I probably, I know I didn't see him a lot this year, but I, you know, even throwing Davey Richards in there, I mean, that guy's, he's solid.
Yeah.
Okay, the next category is the Bruiser Brody Memorial Award for Best Brawler. Number one was Shibata. Number two was Tomohiro Ishii. 3 was Kevin Steen. 4 was Togi Makabe. 5 was Brock Lesnar. 6 was Bully Ray, 7 was Minoru Suzuki, 8 was L.A. Park, 9 was Roman Reigns, and 10 was Masato Tanaka. A lot of jazz.
I can't argue that one. Shibata has had the most brutal fucking matches all year long with Goto, with Suzuki, with Ishii. I mean, watching him is like watching a real fight. And, yeah, he's very deserving of that award. And Ishii's very close second. I mean, Ishii's had some incredible matches too, but I'll give it to Shibata. But it's close, and those two are just way above everybody else.
Just because I haven't seen all these other people, I would have to say Brock Lesnar because I don't know. It's good. Like his matches seem when he has a match, it feels real. So
Kevin Steen's a heck of a brawler, though.
Who?
Kevin Steen.
Oh, Kevin Steen.
Okay.
Yeah, he's decent. And Bubba Ray too. You know, he's one of the best as far as North America. But yeah, I mean, this category is going to be dominated by the Japanese for a long time to come.
The next category is best flying wrestler, and Kota Ibushi won this one. Number two was Ricochet. Number three was Adrian Neville. 4, La Sombra, 5, Sami Zayn, 6, Mascara Dorada, 7, A.R. Fox, 8 was ACH, 9, Samurai Del Sol, and 10, Rey Kameda. I agree with all this. This is my top 10 as well. So.
Or they're missing Valador Jr. He should be up there. But Bushi's good. I mean, he has some awesome matches in the G1. He's a high flyer, but it's not like that's all he does. It's just like he's not like, you know, that that one match where Brian and Vinny were talking about, the one guy tag team did like 1,000 moves. He flies, but it's not like he's just, you know, he flies at the right time. You know, it's not like Ricochet or some of these other guys, but he's pretty good. And LaSombra's pretty good. LaSombra and Volador Jr. are basically the same thing. Just one's a face and one's a heel. But they're pretty awesome. But yeah, I can give it to that Bushi.
Who is Adrian Neville? Is that like, is that Pac?
Yeah, Pac, yeah.
Okay. I've never seen some of these people, so I don't think I've ever seen Sami Zayn wrestle.
Dude, you gotta watch some NXT. It's actually pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You've never seen Hudson Erico?
I may have seen like once or twice, but he didn't want to talk like a fool.
No, that's hilarious.
Oh, I can't
even
control
like each other. One's Canadian and one's like half lizard, but they do kind of look like it. I'll never forget that WrestleMania in Miami. We're walking to the WrestleCon to go see $5 wrestling. I see a guy in a North America mask. I'm like, hey, look at that Mark Del Generico mask. And then later on, we see him coming back, and he's got a pizza. Like, hey, the El Generico Mark got a pizza. And then later on there in $5 wrestling, Colt introduces El Generico, who comes out to the table with a pizza. And I was like, well, I'll be damned.
I remember on this show, you and Peach interviewed Delirious. I listened to it. I said, what the fuck is this?
Yep.
I don't understand a goddamn word.
And we did it for like almost an hour, too. The only thing that I understood is he started doing the music for like National Lampoon's Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing I understood. But apparently Pete speaks Delirious.
How many more of these we got?
Oh, Delirious. I read somewhere that Daisy Hayes is married to Michael Elgin. When did she break up with Delirious?
One more time. I'm sorry.
Okay. You remember Daisy Hayes used to be with Delirious, right?
Right. Sure.
Okay. I read somewhere or heard somewhere that Daisy Hayes is now married to Michael Elgin. And I was like, when did she break up with Delirious?
That's the first I've heard of it.
I figured you would know since you're a big Michael Elgin fan.
Yeah, I am, but I honestly don't know. Ed, you need to throw out the plug, bro.
Okay, everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the Stream Our Show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. You can download the Stream Our Show at BlockTalkRadio.com/Catrere and older shows at BlockTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo or Ed in San Antonio. And you can follow me on Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. And unfortunately, if you follow me on Twitter, you can hear people like Lance Storm and Rain and all these fangirls like insult me on a daily basis. go ahead, Craig.
You can follow me on Twitter. It's Proper Jam, PROPERJAM. And, again, I will be guesting on the Brian and Vinny show after the Rumble. So check it out.
You can follow me on Twitter, Catrere35. You can also go to youtube.com/Catrere. I've got a bunch of shit up there. And that's it.
Also, if you ever want to reach the show, you can email us at OverTheTopRadio@gmail.com. That's OverTheTopRadio@gmail.com. And remember, next week we do have the one and only Rudy Boy Gonzalez going to be on the show.
Yeah, that should be good. Yeah. So,
let me run through the winners of these awards real quick, because some people might actually be interested or listening that may not get the Observer or something. Most overrated was Randy Orton. Most underrated was Antonio Cesaro. I agree with that. Promotion of the year was New Japan.
I'm okay with that.
Best weekly TV show was NXT.
I don't know about that.
pro wrestling.
I don't see enough of it, but what I hear is, as far as like, it's like an old-fashioned wrestling show, so I guess that's a plus.
Yeah, pro wrestling match of the year was Tanahashi versus Okada from April the 7th in Tokyo. I didn't see that match. I had to actually pick the Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk as my match of the year. So
I like Brian and Cena.
Mm-hmm. MMA match of the year was Gilbert Melendez versus Diego Sanchez in Houston.
No, it wasn't. It was Bigfoot against the New Zealand dude. The hell is his name?
It was Melendez versus Sanchez. It says it right here in bold letters.
Well, they're wrong. It was Bigfoot against.
Well, I mean, you think people voted for it.
Well, they're all wrong.
Rookie of the year was Komatsu. It's like reading eye charts. These Japanese people. The best non-wrestler was Paul Heyman. I agree with that. Best TV announcer was William Regal. He's from NXT. JBL is way too high on this list. I can't stand JBL now. Whenever you disagree with him, he gets like violently angry and starts screaming at the top of his fucking lungs every week. It's irritating the shit out of me. Worst television announcer was Taz. Best major wrestling show was the G1, August the 4th in Osaka. Worst major wrestling show was WWE Battleground. I'd agree with that.
I don't know. Genesis was pretty bad the past 2 weeks.
Doesn't count, I guess.
Best wrestling maneuver was Okada Rainmaker. I don't even know what the hell that is. What is it, Ed?
I think it's just a clothesline.
Okay.
It's got to be the Superman punch.
Most disgusting promotional tactic was WWE exploiting the death of Paul Bearer. I guess. I didn't think it was disgusting.
Yeah.
I just thought it was weird.
Yeah.
Yep.
Actually, I'd have gone with the TNA treatment of Jesse Sorensen, but probably not many people watch TNA. So. You know? Let's see. Worst television show. TNA Impact. Yes.
Yeah.
Worst match of the year. Oh, God. Natalya and Naomi and Cameron and the Bellas and JoJo and Eva Marie versus Alicia Fox, Oksana, and AJ Lee and Snuka, Tamina Snuka, Eva Mendez, Caitlin, and Summer Rae, 1124. I would say this is like the worst match of the year with the most competitors of all time in The Observer. I think it's safe to say.
No, this is the biggest injustice is Buzzy McGraw winning worst interviews. Anything with that many views is a
bad interview. I thought the other one with Eva Marie was worse. You know, was that like her first match on Raw?
Yeah. It was one of them.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Hey, and at least there's a Japanese match on this worst match of the year. So it makes me feel a little bit better.
What was that?
Ogawa versus Fujita, 12:31 in Tokyo. Well, it was 12:31. They were probably all drunk. New Year's. Worst feud of the year, Big Show versus The Authority. Yeah, I'll go with that. Although I thought Big Show was pretty good in his action. It was pretty good in the angle itself. But yeah, it was no good. Worst promotion of the year, total nonstop action.
Yeah.
Yep. Best booker, Jado and Gato. I didn't even know they were bookers. Who do they book for?
New Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a very
deserving choice right there. Because New Japan, besides having the best matches, they are booked pretty awesome. Awesomely.
Promoter of the year was Dana White. The best gimmick was the Wyatt family. I can't argue with that one. Worst gimmick was Aces and Eights. I can't argue with that one either.
Mm-hmm.
Best pro wrestling book was Mad Dogs, Midgets, and Screwjobs. Did not read that. I'm going to look at
I met the guy who wrote that at WrestleCon last year. He's pretty cool.
I've been looking at have you got any book recommendations on the Kindle? They got a bunch of wrestling books up here. You need anything you've read recently? You ever read the Jericho one?
Oh, yeah, I've read both of them.
Are they good?
I love them. I love them, love them, love them. That's probably, they're probably my two favorite, to be honest with you.
Which one?
The two Jericho autobiographies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I actually liked the Jericho books more than I liked the second Mick Foley book, which was also very good, but those are just really good.
They got a bunch of them on there. They're pretty decent prices, too. Think about giving me one reading. Best Pro Wrestling DVD was Jim Crockett Promotions, The Good Old Days. I never saw that one. I'd go with Legends of Mid-South Wrestling.
I don't think I've seen any, like, brand new DVDs this year, so I really can't answer that one.
I saw the Mid-South Wrestling. The Triple H documentary was very good.
CM Punk.
Oh, that was the year before.
Was it? Good night.
Yeah. For All Mankind, yeah, the Mick Foley DVD documentary was pretty good, too. So.
Yeah, I just remember Craig was complaining that Dave Prezak wasn't on the DVD, and then Dave Prezak has to remind you that he wasn't on the DVD.
Yeah, well.
I real quick update. You know Mick Foley's baseball bat? They just broke out a plastic baseball bat with nails in it or spikes. But anyway, before we go, the last match, Jesse Bell Smothers and Steffi defeated Little Darling and Heidi Lovelace. And right now they are currently having a no DQ match between two super heavyweights between Allison Kay and Jessica Havoc. And if you're into 40-plus athletes, this is the match for you because these girls got, like, butts I've ever seen, and they are just beating the shit out of each other. But, Craig, do you have any last things you want to talk about before we go?
Not that I can think of.
Everybody go see My Shit Take Heels. I watched it last night. It's a pretty good movie.
Okay.
The first one, or the second one?
The second one. And they had the trailer for the third one, Machete Kills Again, in space.
In space? Oh, my God. Yes. I got to see this just for Sofia Vergara's, what is it, Machine Gun Brawl?
Do what now?
Doesn't Sofia Vergara have, like, a bra that, like, shoots, like, a machine gun?
Yeah.
Just a quick update before we go. Marty Jannetty, 56 minutes ago, stopped at number 2.
Well, he probably thought he could post a picture of himself committing suicide, but that just didn't work out for him.
Well, depending on his status, we may do a Marty Jannetty show in a couple of weeks. I don't know. That's horrible to think about. But
yeah.
Whatever.
Well, hopefully someone will leave my Facebook post and take away his cocaine.
Hopefully somebody suspends his Facebook account so nobody has a reason. Bullshit.
Yeah. But I guess on that note, unfortunately, the big letdown because we didn't get a payoff on the Marty Jannetty update.
We will go ahead and get a payoff in the first place.
Yeah. So everyone come back next week, and we'll have Rudy Boy Gonzalez on, and hopefully we'll have some new listeners because Craig will have a the show on Sunday, and so hopefully. But anyway, good luck on the show, Craig.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And here we go.
Be the man. You gotta beat the man. You wanna-
haven't found out how good you are, you're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! I just whipped your ass. You take it all away. I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.